Well, if you would turn with me to John 21, if you have a Bible, or if it's on your phone, look up John chapter 21. There is a little slip of paper in your bag that's a handout that will have the outline this morning. John chapter 1 is where we're going to land. And during Easter weekend, it's common for people to take what we call spring break. Okay, some people get some time off. Some people, whether you're working or in school, you get some time off during the week, maybe the whole week, maybe just a couple of days, you get time off. And when we have time off, and even if you didn't this week, maybe you've taken time off in the past, and when we get time off, we often fill that time with all the things that we've been wanting to do with our time, but we've been stuck working this whole time, right? So we're just doing the stuff we wish we could be doing. Now, some people love work. Anybody love work? Okay, some people do. Most people don't. But some people love working, love achieving things. And those kind of people, when they take time off, you know what they do? More work. They're still trying to find a way to work because that's what they want to be spending their time doing. Others of us like recreational habits, like maybe there's some hunters here. Any hunters or fishers here? Okay, some people like to do that. Anybody love cleaning with your spare time? All right, so there's some people that like to clean, love to, you know, there's chores, or there's spring cleaning, there's things that we just don't have time to get to that when we have time off, which is always surprising to me with my mom to find her cleaning on her time off. That's not what I would want to do with my time off, but some people, that's what they like to do. They like to get things clean. Other people have other interests, like doing things on screens. Some people like to play video games, and I know that if we're older, we like to think, yeah, those young people, they always like to spend all that time playing video games. But I know the older people get lost on like some of those Facebook games or those app games on their phone. I know there's some older people that are on there playing those games, or you just kind of stream through social media, or you're watching stuff on your devices, or binge-watching a show. Anybody ever binge-watch a show before? You just got to watch 7 seasons of this in 3 days because that's all the time I have, and just trying to get it all in. And at some point, this weird sensation, now this happens with the other pursuits, but it definitely happens with any kind of screen-related thing. Some point, we reach a moment where our eyes start to get a little fuzzy and watery, and it's irritating because then we have to take our eyes off the screen at that moment. Have you ever been there before? You've just been looking at the screen so long and that like, I just can't see anymore. And you take a moment to get up and walk away from it or walk into another room, and you kind of feel like a zombie. Have you ever been there before? Like you just feel like you're just not with it, or like you're just in this comatose state. Or in my household, and I think that this is a common term, we call that screen brain, you know, where your just mind is just fried from spending hours or maybe even days on that. And you get to a point where you ask yourself, like you walk out of the room and you ask yourself, why am I alive? What am I living for? I don't even know what I'm living for. I just spent, my greatest achievement in life was I watched 7 seasons of a show. What is my life worth? And then we decide that at some point, I got to get back to work. Isn't that funny? We get to a point on our vacation or trip or time off, I just got to get back to work. Can't think about what's the meaning of my life because I got other things to tend to. Whether it's we can't wait till we get back to work, or just schedule happens and we get back to work, or we get back into our routines and our schedules and doing our stuff, and we just stop thinking about that idea of what am I living for? And we get the busyness and we're doing all the stuff, and sometimes we get into other things because that question surfaces and we just can't handle that. Maybe we go beyond those habit things or those extracurricular things, and we get into drugs or drinking or sexuality and those kind of things because we're trying to find something that makes this life worth anything. Now, what does that have to do with Easter? Now, I know that some people prefer to call this Resurrection Day, but I think all of us know what we mean by the word Easter. And it was about 2,000 years ago, the reason why we observe this holiday is because about 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ died on a cross, and then a few days later rose from the dead. And there are different things that transpired and stuff that began to happen. And somehow what happened 2,000 years ago is still supposed to be having some kind of impact on our lives who we didn't even live back then, on our lives today. And how is that that takes place? How is that that the Easter events bring meaning to my life? And there's an encounter that Peter had with the resurrected Jesus in John 21. And in that encounter, Peter and Jesus have this conversation, and Jesus is trying to help Peter figure something out. And Peter's discovering some things, and what does that have to do with Easter? Okay, sure, he's encountering the resurrected Jesus, but what does it have to do with Easter, the conversation with Peter? But what we'll discover is some of the things that Peter was coming to realize through Jesus' direction are the very things that Jesus died to make happen in our lives, and are the very things that still can happen in our lives, and are the very thing that can bring meaning and purpose to our lives. Instead of just continuing to numb ourselves and go back into all the things that we're doing, and not all of those things are bad, but wouldn't we like to know that there's some purpose to our lives, that it's meaningful, that it has some kind of value? Well, in this encounter, we're going to discover what that is. So in John 21, if you'd look with me, John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15, John writes this: "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go.' This he said to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against Jesus during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Now we're going to lift the aspects of what are happening in this interaction, and we're going to highlight each one. And with each one, we're going to look at a passage that highlights the New Testament principle that's happening there and how it relates to the Easter weekend. But one of the things that happens is that Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Well, now why does he, have you ever had, you know, like how kids sometimes will ask a question and you just answered it and they ask the same question again, you know? Or maybe we have some older relatives that happens with also. I just answered that question already. Why are you asking me again the answer to the same question? It just gave you the answer. And that's why I think when it said Peter was grieved, you know, I don't know if it means he was annoyed or irritated by the repeating of the same question. But I think what we miss in the story is that the last time Peter had encountered Jesus, it was while Jesus was being condemned and crucified or led off to crucifixion. And just before that, a little time before that, Jesus has said to Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "Absolutely no way. I'm not going to mess this up. I'm not going to deny you three times." Jesus said, "Yes, you will." Well, during the events of the crucifixion, when Jesus would have needed his followers the most, Peter denied him three times. And then went away weeping bitterly in remorse for what he had done and how he had failed. And now he's encountering the resurrected Jesus. And there's a question of why is Jesus asking me to affirm my love for him three times? It's because Peter failed three times, and Jesus was giving him the opportunity to overcome that failure. And I don't know about you, but I have things in my past that I've messed up and failed at. And I have things in my life that because of that, I can't do certain things. Or have you ever had people in your life that just keep bringing up to you who you were? And it's frustrating because you think, I was 7 when I did that. Why do you keep bringing that up? But our past keeps showing up, and there's things that we don't want. Some of us have burned pictures, you know, when we used to have physical pictures, or now we just delete them, and there's parts of our past that we don't want to be there because it we feel bad about it. We feel guilty about it. And this is one of the things that if we follow the person of Jesus Christ and receive what Jesus has for us, we can move on from our past. Jesus gives the ability to move forward away from our past, our failures, our mistakes, our brokenness, our trauma even, maybe things that we didn't even invite into our lives. Jesus died to give us the ability to walk past, to walk beyond that past. And not only just the distant past, but Jesus gives us the ability to walk beyond the past that we experienced just yesterday. Because Paul says in Philippians 3, he says that we are to press, he presses on toward the prize, forgetting what lies behind, but pressing on towards what is ahead. The following of Jesus Christ is a forward movement. It's we keep progressing, we keep moving forward. And even if I fall down and mess up, that's why the scriptures say that his mercies are new every morning. It's why James says that if we sin, John says we have an advocate with the Father and we can confess our sins. So that means that if we blew it yesterday with Jesus, what he died to give us is I can start brand new again today. And when today becomes yesterday and becomes the past, Jesus gives the ability to move past that past. And every time that we mess up, because I don't know about you, how many people you have in your life that you can share every bit of who you are, even the deepest, darkest things, and they still will accept you and enable you to move past that every single time. I mean, our patience runs out at some point, doesn't it? If we tell someone something and then they tell somebody else and then we try it again and they tell someone else and they keep breaking our confidence, we stop telling them things at some point. But with Jesus, we have someone who, that happened again, guess what? Let's start over again. And it actually says in Titus, and you have the reference on your handout there, Paul says to Titus this, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright lives and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself how? Through the crucifixion. Why? To redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Jesus went to the cross to enable you and I to walk away from our past. That's the meaning of following Christ. But then, anybody know Greek here? I know there's a saying, it's all Greek to me. If you knew this, the New Testament originally was written in Greek, and it's not often that the English translation has a hard time showing us what was happening in the original languages, but this is one of those instances, because all we hear is love. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. But what we don't realize is in the Greek, there's different degrees of love. We have that in English too, but we just keep using the same word. There's the word agape, which means this deep, passionate, committed, heartfelt love. And then there's phileo, there's like a friendship, affection. And what happens in the dialogue is Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. And Jesus says, do you agape me? And Peter says, I phileo you. And see, we don't see that in the English, that there's a difference there. And finally, on the third time, Jesus comes to where Peter is and says, do you phileo me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. What is happening there? Well, that is Jesus trying to help Peter see that Peter actually isn't where he could be yet. He has some level of commitment to Christ, some interest, but Peter actually is capable of becoming better than that. And so Jesus is asking him, why don't you come forward some? Remember, the faith is a forward-moving idea. Why don't you come forward and be better than that? And Peter wasn't quite, he was wrestling with that. And this is one of the hardest truths about the Christian faith that I think a lot of people walk away from it because of this. And that is that, yes, Jesus forgives us, but Jesus died to make us be better than that. And the way we usually respond to that is, well, I don't want him to restrict my freedom. Why is Jesus such a killjoy? Is he just trying to take away my fun and my pleasure? And you, some of you parents have experienced this weekend when you try to pull back on some of the candy with your children, they have the same reaction to you. You know, why are you trying to ruin my life by taking this candy from me? You know, you go to a restaurant and they want to order some highly caffeinated beverage and you say no water and they say, you hate me. And it's just the way we respond, and we're kind of the same way with God. If he restricts us in any way, you don't care about me, you hate me. In reality, what he's doing is, see, we're, anybody ever feel like you're an idiot? Sometimes I feel like I'm doing great, and then I do something, and I think, boy, am I an idiot. And we just, there's certain things we can't figure out, you know? Is there still things you're scratching your head about? Like, certain things I just can't figure out. And there's a lot we don't know. And when we're told to not do something, sometimes we get it. You know, sometimes we read what God commands of us and I can see why you don't want me to do that. There's other things that we just can't, why would he not want me to do that? Why would he want me to stop someone else from doing that? We can't connect that to the destruction. But that's where the trust comes in. That Jesus doesn't give us rules just to make our lives miserable. That's not what he's after. In fact, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I've come to give you joy and peace and provisions. Jesus wants us to have a full life. And that's the reason for the commandments. Is I don't want you to behave that way because that's going to destroy you at some point. Or that's going to destroy somebody else at some point. And we've walked down those roads. Many of us have walked down those roads where at some point we realize, I'm killing myself here. Or I didn't realize I was hurting this person this way. And the beauty of the Easter weekend and what happened on that weekend is Jesus died to give us the ability to be better than that. And there is nothing more valuable, nothing that gives more meaning to life to know that I'm living a good life. I'm living the kind of life that I am the kind of person that I should be, and I'm living that. So much, you don't walk away from that ever with screen brain, okay? You don't walk away from making the right choices with this fuzzy, zombie, comatose type state. There's fulfillment in being the kind of person that Jesus has called us to be, and he died to give us that. Ephesians 1 says this, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith, and we read this earlier, in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And if we don't know this, the revelation is the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, being awakened to realize the right course, that you may know what is the hope that is in you, that he has called to you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. Jesus died and rose from the dead so that we can move on from our past and we can become the better person. Jesus died to give us that ability. But also, there's a curious thing that happens here, because did you notice that moment when Peter realized, and I think I'm glad that John adds the explanation in there, because that whole when you were young, you dressed yourself and you did what you wanted, but when you're older, someone else will dress you. You know, in my mind, when I read that, I first think, okay, so am I going to be like in an old folks home? You know, like, hey, I can't take care of myself. Is that what he's talking about? But that's not what he was talking about. And that's why John adds the explanation that he told him this to tell him the manner of death that he was going to die in. And it was traditionally believed that Peter himself was also crucified, which is why someone will spread open your hands. And then Peter is thinking about, because imagine thinking about that. Someone just told you, you're going to get killed. That's not the news that you're looking for, right? That's not the future that we've been planning for. And someone told you that news that you're going to be killed. So then Peter starts thinking, well, am I the only one that's going to get killed? And so then he looks and he sees John and he says, well, what about him? Is he going to get killed too? And Jesus says, what is that to you? And if I don't want him to be killed, what is that to you? And that's hard for us, and Peter's wrestling with that, because have you ever looked at somebody else's life and you thought, their life is so much easier than mine. Nobody else knows what it's like to be going through what I'm going through, and it's just my past, my difficult, my present and the things I'm going through, nobody else gets it. And maybe we're right. Maybe we're right that nobody else has gone through this, and it frustrates us, and it makes us angry with others, and it makes us angry with God, And the odd thing is in this, did you notice that Jesus actually led him to draw this conclusion? Because first of all, not only did Jesus point out that he was going to die, and then pointed out that John might not, did you notice that when we started the passage in verse 15, the first time Jesus asked his question, do you love me? He said, do you love me more than these? Now, why would Jesus want to put the thought in Peter's head about comparing his life to somebody else's? Do I love you more than these? And then when he lands on the idea that he's going to die, then he starts to ask that question. Well, I know I'll love him more than these, but why doesn't he get to get executed? Why do I have to be executed? And a lot of us get stuck here in this space where we see the injustices that are around us. When we see, maybe it's not us, maybe it's someone we care about, and we see that, I can't believe they're going through that. How could God let them go through that? And how unfair is this whole setup? And so we want to walk away from God, faith, maybe even people. Some of us have sectioned ourselves off from other people because of that hurt and that injustice, and we don't want that. But what ends up happening is we end up being all alone and miserable and bitter and hating life and hating people. And Jesus doesn't want us to be stuck there. Now, unfortunately, we live in a world where people make choices and we make choices and we get different results for various reasons. But Jesus was trying to help Peter come to the place of accepting that this is what God has for me. He doesn't have it for somebody else, but this is what God has for me. In fact, Paul writes about this in Romans. He says, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? What is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction in order to make known the rich riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for their glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. It's difficult. Life is difficult. And Jesus died. Jesus brought in his glories and his treasures into this world to give us the capacity to push past all of life's filth and difficulty. That's why next week we're going to walk through some of that. How do we deal with the misery that we find ourselves in? And there's answers to that. But one of the answers is this weekend. Because Jesus Christ did not come into existence when he was conceived in Mary's womb. Jesus Christ is the Lord God, and he existed prior to his taking on human flesh. And he decided, for our sake, to enter into this miserable life. He decided that he was going to also walk through misery. Walk through misery so much so that he allowed himself to be gone through the most horrific way of dying. We're not like our capital punishment today where the death is pretty close to instantaneous. It was hours of torture, then hours of agony on the cross before he finally breathed his last breath. Jesus understands what it is like to walk through suffering. And that's why Jesus has the leg to stand on to be able to say to Peter, don't worry about him. You go through what I have prepared for you to go through because I will help you through it. And some of us have walked through some of the most miserable things. And it's at those moments that we, if we're open to it, have experienced the most powerful revelations of who God is and his support, more so in those moments than any other high that we can ever experience. And that's what the Easter weekend brought into our lives. And that is so much more meaningful than any job, any career, any success, any possessions, any drugs and all that stuff. All that stuff lasts just for moments. But they don't provide the meaning for our lives that deep in our hearts we crave to have. Easter brings meaning to our lives. But if we get stuck, if we only get stuck, if we only stay at where he does some things for me, you know, he sets me free from my past, he makes me a better person, then he enables me to walk through the issues that I have. If we stay there, there's still a lack of meaning in our lives. Because there is also something else that he died for. And that's why when Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? He responded the same, he used different words, but he responded the same way every time. He said, feed my lambs. Second time, tend to my sheep. The third time, feed my sheep. Now, who are these lambs? Does he want us to be shepherds or something? You know, anybody ever worked with a sheep before? Ever pet a sheep? No, they have. If you don't know, then we can take a tour sometime. There are sheep nearby. They smell a little bit, though. But he wasn't talking about actually literal animals. You know what he's talking about? Human beings. Now, human beings smell sometimes also. And they're difficult sometimes also. But what he was saying is Peter, if you love me, then do something in the lives of somebody else. If you love me, do something for somebody else. Because there is nothing more meaningful than making a difference in somebody else's life. That's why one of the greatest joys of parenthood is when we've succeeded in some way and we've provided some good into somebody else's life because we've impacted somebody else. It's even more meaningful than us being impacted, impacting the lives of somebody else. And did you know that Jesus actually died in order for us to achieve that, to have an impact on somebody else's life? He says in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us, again through the cross, to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and trusting to us, for us to do this, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. This is again the crucifixion, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus died so that we can become, or we can offer value to other people. So again, if our greatest accomplishment is we were able to watch the entire 7 seasons of a show, even our jobs, do you ever wonder sometimes, what is the whole point of this job? What am I achieving in life? I know I'm getting a paycheck, but at the end of the day, what does that achieve? Jesus died so that we can mean something in the lives of other people, that we can touch people. You, no matter how strong or weak you are, no matter how old or young you are, no matter what resources you have, no matter how much charisma you do or don't have, Jesus has placed something inside of you to be of value to somebody else. The only question is if we want to walk in it. And we can make a difference. And Jesus died to enable us to make a difference in other people's lives. But there are 2 sections to this story that we read. The first section is that whole back and forth, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. And then there's the encounter about figuring out his death and wanting to know if John's a part of this whole thing. And at the end of both of those stories, Jesus just says 2 words to Peter to kind of sum it all up. The same 2 words both times. You know what he said? He looks at Peter and he says, follow me. Now those might not seem like much, those 2 little words. But what he was telling Peter was, make your life about me. You see, we can do all the good in the world and impact other people's lives, but if Jesus doesn't become the center of it, it can't have eternal, lasting value. Because at some point, I die and you die. At some point, everybody else dies. We know that historically, everybody around us dies at some point. And then what I did in somebody else's life comes to an end when their life ends, because it's not eternal. But Jesus is eternal. He's what makes it all eternal. And so it has to become at some point about following Jesus. But part of following Jesus is also the people. It's interesting that the back and forth between who do we focus on? Do we focus on Jesus or do we focus on others? In fact, did you know that, again, the Easter weekend, Jesus died so that we can live for Jesus and so that we can live in relationship with one another, in harmony with one another? Have you ever thought about how difficult that is? To get along with somebody else in such a way that I'm vulnerable and open to them and sharing with them all the things I'm going through, and I still get along with them? I share my views and my ideas, and they share their views and their ideas, and I still get along with them? That's like Mission Impossible. Some of you are going to go to an Easter dinner or an Easter meal at some point today, and you're going to be around people that you think, why am I here? I don't like any of these people. And we also know that there's a list of things that I can't say any of the things on this list to any of these people. Because it's difficult to be in harmony with others, to have true intimacy with other people. But did you know that the things that we're celebrating this weekend, Jesus did to give us the ability to have that kind of harmony with one another? Don't believe me? Well, this is what Paul says in Ephesians, I believe chapter 2. It is chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, he says this, therefore remember that at that time, or at one time, you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. That's the person of Christ. But then he says, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. At one point, I was separated from God and from other people, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, You who were far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. It's the Easter weekend stuff. For he himself is our peace, who has, what has he done through his blood? Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law and commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, bringing us together. So making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body. How? Through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Wouldn't you love for some of the hostility to be killed? And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Jesus died so that I can have a relationship with him, and I can have a healthy, thriving relationship with others. Why do you think this was the back and forth? Peter, do you love me? Focus on me. Peter, do you love me? Then focus on others. Feed my sheep. That's the constant interaction. Focus on God. Focus on the Lord. Focus on others. That's why Jesus says the greatest commandments, anybody know those? The greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot have meaning in life without a relationship with the Lord and a relationship with people. It's why John says, I believe it's John that says, that you cannot say that you love God and you don't love people. Because this is what life is about, Lord and people, to have not only to serve and impact others, to have healthy relationships with other people. Jesus died to make that happen. He gives us the ability to have that, to love God and love others. And I don't know if you've ever experienced being with someone when they're dying, but often, most of the time when people are dying, there's two things that start to come to their mind. And it demonstrates what truly brings meaning to life. When someone is dying, they're thinking about, where am I going? And they start thinking about God. Even the most atheist among us, at some point, if they know they're dying, they start thinking about that. And then they want all their loved ones to be around them. Or they start worrying about, what is my family going to be able to do when I'm gone? Because they're thinking about people. Because that's what brings meaning to life. A relationship with the Lord and a relationship with people. And Jesus died to give us that. But oh, how we miss out on it so often. And the challenge for us is to not only just spend a day where we reflect on those realities, but to begin to walk in that victory that Jesus has provided for us. And it takes action at times. It takes doing something. And so you can join us on that journey. There's a sheet in there that gives you some guidance on how to join us. We're inviting you to come join us to work together, to help each other have healthy relationships with one another, and to have an impact and make a difference on others, and know the freedom and the victory that Jesus has. Does that sound so bad? You know, I know we tend to focus on the, well, I can't do this. But what about having a thriving, flourishing life and a flourishing family, and a flourishing home life, and a life that when we lay our heads down at night, that we have this ease of knowing, even though I just blew it yesterday, remember, his mercies are new and new each day, even though I blew it yesterday, I can lay down on my pillow at ease knowing that I'm okay, and my life has meaning because of what Jesus did on Easter weekend. Will you stand with me, worship team? Will you come and prepare to lead us? It is my delight that on Easter Sunday we get a few extras to join us and be present with us. And that is a privilege for me to be able to speak into the lives of different people. But it also is a great burden to have because, like I said, I can't read your minds. Some of you I don't know at all, and I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know your history and your life. And I don't know your disposition, and so when I get up to talk in front of you, I have no idea what you're expecting. And I have to figure out how to communicate these great truths to people that are coming from all different walks of life, which look around in this room. There's young and there's old. There's black and there's white. There's well-dressed and not so well-dressed. There's well-built and not so well-built. But there's men and there's women. But here, in this place, is the opportunity to find harmony and love and an emotional bond with other people that are different from us and with a Lord who died to give us that. The only question is will we walk in the victory that he has provided? We don't have to make anything happen. We just have to accept it into our lives. So if for a moment you would close your eyes and bow your heads with me as we want to take the opportunity to pray for those who would like to be prayed for. And Joe, you can begin to play something in the background. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and you're here this morning, and I don't know which part of this, if any, resonated with you, but as you're thinking through your life and different things that are going on and what Jesus did, maybe you call yourself a Christian. No one's questioning that. Maybe you consider yourself religious or a good person, or you pray. Maybe you said some kind of commitment prayer at some point in your past, and that might have been special and meant something at a time, but true salvation, true experiencing the salvation that Jesus brought or has offered into our lives, is that ability to toggle between his mercy and grace is new every morning, and if I mess this up again, he will forgive me if I confess my sin, admit that that was wrong. But he doesn't want me to just stay in that, because that's destructive for me, that's destructive for others. He wants me to move on from that and to live a life of victory, to be changed, transformed, to be a better person, to be a different person. And again, I don't know what your past is and where your commitments lies with Christ or church or whatever. Are you doing that? Are you walking through that toggle experience of not working to earn it, but responding to the grace that he gives me, but then also letting him do a work in my life and walking in the holiness and the righteousness and the goodness that he calls me to? And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd say, that's not who I am right now at this moment, but that's who I want to become. And if that's what following Jesus is, that's what I want. And if that's you, I'd like to pray that the Lord will help you with that journey. So heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you and you'd like me to pray that for you, just lift your hand and let me know that. Good, good. Anybody else? Good. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Good. Several hands. Good, good. Anybody else? Good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's good. Good. Anybody else? Good. Still a moment, still an opportunity. Hands for that. Secondly, heads bowed and eyes closed still. You're here this morning and you're kind of wrestling with what Peter did, in that you're seeing the stuff that you're going through and you're looking around and you're seeing there's John who's not going through any bit of it. And it's bothering you. And you're hung up there and you just can't seem to move past it. It might be something recent. It might be something that's decades in the past, but it's still present with you now. You just can't seem to accept the reality of what your life context is. Well, I want you to know that Jesus died to give you the ability to embrace that context and succeed and thrive in the midst of that. And if you're here this morning, you'd say, I'm in that space, and I want the Lord's help to walk through that, not with bitterness, but with a joy in my heart that knowing that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me, and I want to be able to not be hung up there anymore. And it's not truly just a deliverance from the circumstances and its ability to walk in those circumstances. So heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I need help with that. That's where I'm hung up. Good. Okay, good. Anybody else? Good. Love to pray for you. Good. Anybody else? That's where I'm hung up. Good. Anybody else? Good. I'm stuck there. Good. Good. He wants victory for you. Good. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Good. Lastly, heads bowed and eyes closed. You're good with following Christ, and you're not hung up on your life circumstances. You're okay with those too. But to live out our lives in pursuit of impacting the lives of others and having healthy relationships with others, well, that's a difficult thing entirely. That's scary. And some of us are introverted and we're shy and we're kind of timid. And that's me. Oh, I'm introverted and quiet. But that's where life is. It's with people. I know they're difficult. I know they smell like the sheep. I know they're challenging. And they bring in their own set of headaches. But true meaning in life is living for others, being engaged with others. But you might need help to do that. So if that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, lift your hands and say, yes, Lord, help me to embrace the mission that you have for me. Good. Anybody else? Good. Several hands. Help me to embrace the mission you have for me. Good. Good. And you're going to need it. Don't let it just be a one-moment thing. This is a lifetime pursuit of impacting others, living for others. Jesus died to allow us to have that. And so, Lord Jesus, for those here that are asking you to help them to toggle back and forth between trusting in and relying on your work to be sufficient for us to be able to keep going even though we're kind of stumbling through this, even though we have a past, but to not just make excuses for ourselves, but to walk in the strength and victory that you give us, and may you lavish that on us, to give us the victory to walk out this life in a way that brings honor to you, that blesses others, that doesn't, don't let us be vessels of wrath, Lord, but let us be vessels that bring good to others. So give us that strength and help, that commitment to be a life long commitment of following Jesus Christ that way. And those here, Lord, that are struggling, hung up, stuck, bitter, struggling, anxious, depressed about their present life circumstances, I ask that right now you would come into their mind and heart and spirits in such a way that you bring that peace that surpasses all understanding that only you can bring. Because all of us, we would be foolish to try to give the answers to everybody's circumstances. But Lord, you can bring that peace. So bring that peace into their lives, Lord, I ask. And bring joy despite the struggles, despite the pain. Give them the ability to walk victoriously through it. And for those, Lord, that have said, I want to embrace the mission of living out my life for others, and to follow Jesus Christ, give them the strength for that. When they try and people reject them, when they try and people are conflicted and difficult or absent, may you give them the ability to continue to thrive and press on and press into relationships with other people. Give them the ability to do that. Even when they feel insecure, insignificant, like they can't do it right, help them to rest in your assurance that they can do that. Lord Jesus, when you were on the cross, in that moment of intense agony, you still had the focus of the thief on the cross to lead him into paradise. You still had the focus to look down on your attackers to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So give us that ability that no matter what we're going through, no matter what our limitations are, that we would have the ability to follow you by fulfilling the mission of serving others. Help us, Lord. Be our strength. And may you be the one who gets all the glory and all the honor for the remarkable things that you do in and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I hope that you are glad to come and hear what he has for you, and I hope that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, enables you to see the reality of that. And to follow up with what we shared, if you are interested in getting involved in doing something to serve others, Then at the back, there's a table. There's a little sign that says Welcome Center. Go back there and let them know that you'd like to be involved in that. Or if you'd like to think about it, there's something in your bag that will give you some direction on ways that you can be involved. My cell phone's on there, and you can contact me at some later point. Or if you're new, you're here for the first time or first time in a long time, they have something for you in exchange for a way for us to connect with you, so make sure to see them. And next week, we're going to talk about suffering. Aren't you excited? Okay. And we're going to figure out how to suffer well. There is an answer to that, so I hope that you will join us to be a part of that. If you know someone that you think would like to be a part of that, there's extra of these in the back on that table. Feel free to take whatever you'd like. And I don't know about you, but it's better to go through life with other people. And so if you've decided you wanted to jump into some things, but you'd like other people to be around you to help you, support you in that journey, that's what we do on Wednesdays. Wednesdays at 6:30, we come together. It's a smaller group, and we have a conversation, and we work together to help each other pursue this, what we call discipleship, to follow Jesus. So if you'd like to be a part of that, I hope that you will. Again, thank you for being here. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. Worship team, if you'd lead us in something as we go. But I hope you have a wonderful day. It's a sunny day. God bless you. Jesus is risen. And we'll see you next time.